So you know what's so weird about the way that we talk or the way I talk? I refer to everything as kind of or sort of, even though it is in no way kind of or sort of. It just is.
Like what?
Like I'll say, like, it's kind of hard. Like, no, it is hard. Or I'll
That's
say, it's kind of a candy bar. No, it is a candy bar. It's like,
kind of sort of incorrect.
no, it is incorrect.
To stand your ground.
Hi, I'm Becca Clegg, and this is the Inner Alchemy Podcast. Join me in conversations with some of my favorite healers and helpers as we explore all the ways we can restore balance within ourselves. The world heals one person at a time, and the healing starts now. Hi, and welcome to today's show. Today, we're going to be discussing the healing power of working with oracle cards. And we're going to be talking to my friend, Jen Blumenthal. Jen is the founder of the Intuition School and a human spirit guide for awakening women on the search for the truth of who they are. In Intuition School, Jen guides the journey of the self by working with the wisdom of oracle cards, practicing the creative spirit process of soul art, and learning to clear out energy, upgrade mindsets, and heal the layers of who we are so that our true selves can shine through. Jen is a certified competent coach from the School of Coaching Mastery and a certified soul art guide, a Reiki master teacher, Karuna Reiki master, and an energy master practitioner. We're so glad to have you on the show today. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you, Becca. I'm so glad to be here. So fun to catch up.
I know. We were just catching up before the show started and we realized it's been many years since she and I have even had a chance to catch up. So I want to kind of introduce you to the audience by asking you just to tell us a little bit about the journey that brought you into the work that you're doing, because it is so rich. And I know that for all of the healers we have on the show, everybody has such a personal relationship with their gift and with what they do. So I'd love to hear a little bit about what brought you to where you are today.
Sure. So the first part of my career, the first like 20, 25 years, I was a database programmer. So very left-brained, very logical, linear. Mm-hmm. But I had taken this jewelry making class and I got to be friends with my teacher and she was really new agey. She was kind of new agey. And so she invited me in 2011 to go to a new age fair. It's called the Galactic Expo. It's in Nashville. It's a huge show. Uh-huh. And I was like, totally, I would love to go. And I was open-minded. I was like, yes, I'll go. But I was scared of the psychics. I was like, I am not going to see a psychic. They're just going to tell me bad news. They're going to tell me when I'm going to die. I don't want to hear that.
Right.
And I can't even look at them because they're going to know that I'm scared. So like ridiculous stuff, right?
Right. No, I
so,
hear you.
I went to the show with her though. She had her reading. I played around with the crystals, bought some crystals, had a great time. I was like, okay, great. So later that year in November, she invited me to go on a little retreat with a group of five women. And it was to an 11-11-11 ceremony. There was a big portal opening on that date. And we were going to go dig crystals in Arkansas. And so it was something that was outside of my comfort zone, but I was like, I need to do this. So I did it. I just trusted. I was like, okay, I'm going to go do it. And the ladies who were on the retreat with us, every one of them was a Reiki practitioner, Reiki master, Reiki teacher, something. I didn't even know what Reiki was at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Never had any experience like doing ceremony or ritual or digging crystals, none of that stuff. So all of this was new to me. And I just loved every minute of it. Loved every minute of it. And so the lady who was leading the retreat, she said, in January, I am teaching a Reiki class. And I was like, you tell me when and where, and I will be there. So I got the beginning of the next year, I went and got certified in Reiki. A couple months later, I got my Reiki master, which you're supposed to wait like 6 months or something. But I was like, nope, can't do it. Got to do it. So by this time, the New Age Fair rolls around again. And this time I go with my friend again and I'm like, I'm going to get a reading. So I go and I think I got two readings and they were really good. No one told me I was going to die.
No,
no one gave me bad news. Like it was very positive, good experience. I was like, okay, this is great. So then I started taking psychic development classes because at this point, I'm really into it and really interested. I was working with a teacher named Alexandra And she also taught a tarot class. And so I took her tarot class, of course, because I'm taking all of her classes. So somewhere after the tarot class and while I was taking psychic development work with her, I discovered oracle cards. Like, I didn't really connect. Tarot cards and oracle cards are different. And yeah. I didn't really connect with the artwork on the tarot cards that we were using. It just kind of was like old-fashioned and boring, and it just wasn't my style. So I found this deck of oracle cards that I loved, and they just had fractal art on them, which is, I don't know if you know what fractal art is, but it's just like repeating art patterns over and over and over inside of
each other.
So really cool cards.
Yeah.
And so I started working with those cards, working with the psychic development. Well, the next year rolls around back to the New Age Fair. And I had joined this group called Nashville Psychic Meetup because the psychic community, which is where kind of readers and healers fall into, was really big in Nashville. And so they had a booth at the New Age Fair and we could do readings. So at this third one that I'm at, now I'm giving readings. I'm sitting at a booth giving readings. But I was still very new at it and very nervous about it. And I wasn't very busy. And so my teacher walked up to me at one point and she was like, she was so sweet. She was like this grandmother who wore this beehive hairdo. And she walked up and she sat down at my table and she's like, okay, pretend you're giving me a reading because it's going to look like you're in demand and people are going to come and want readings. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. She was so sweet. So I pull my cards out to give her a reading and I put the cards and I grab the book from the deck because the deck usually comes with a book and it tells you the meaning of the cards. So I go to open the book and to read the what the cards mean. And she puts her hand on my book and she says, don't use the book. And so I'm like, what? And she said, just make it up. Just tell me what you see in the cards. And I'm thinking, I can't do that. Like, how am I supposed to know what's in the cards? But I was like, okay, I'll try. And since this is a pretend reading anyway, I'm just going to do it. So I started just describing what was in the cards in that moment. What I saw, the patterns I saw, and kind of relating it to her life. And I think I got a few things right. Mostly I didn't. But what happened in that moment was that she gave me permission to access the invisible and to access like the greater wisdom without having to go read the book. So that opened up this whole world for me to get access to what I couldn't see. And so then I knew that I really wanted to read cards for people. But I was still afraid of giving readings. Well, at this point, I started working with Uplevel. And I also had a little coach on the side. And my coach said, we were about to go to an Uplevel retreat in Atlanta. And she said, you're going to bring your cards and you're going to do readings. And I was like, oh, I can't do that. I'm not ready for that. Right. And so, but she's like, bring your cards and do it. I don't care if you want to or not. I was like, okay, I'll do it. So we were at dinner the first night and there was a group of us at the table and I was like, okay, just do it. Just say it. And I said, I brought my oracle cards. I'm going to do readings in the lobby of the hotel after dinner. Does anybody want to do this? And everybody was like, me. And I was like, oh no. Okay, great. We'll see you in the lobby. So we go back to the hotel and everybody kind of goes to the room and gets changed or whatever. And I go get my cards. And on the way to the lobby, I'm making up this excuse, this reason, like, why aren't my readings very good? So just in case nobody liked their reading or things didn't come through, I'm like, this is why they're not very good. Because I don't predict the future with these cards. I am reading the energy of what's going on in your life. And that tells me like your patterns. And when I said that to myself, I was like, oh. Like the lights are going off, you know, going off, the bells are going off, ding, ding, ding. I'm like, oh, this is how the cards work for me. They show me the energy patterns in people's lives and I can help them with those patterns. So in that moment, my confidence went from being zero to like 200% because now I knew how the cards were working for me. So we went down in the lobby and I did readings all night and somebody else was like doing Reiki over on the couch and I think we did it again the next night and it was super fun. But like that was a defining moment for me. And I knew I wanted to share the magic of oracle cards with people because of how they opened me up to my own intuition and my own like inner power. So yes. I've used them ever since. Totally love
that. That is so cool. And I was there. I don't think I was in the lobby that night, but I was there. And when Jen references Uplevel, it was a program she and I took together, and that's where we met. And you know, I love so much about what you just said. The piece that really got me was how you were just sort of led and guided, and one thing unfolded into another, and you just kept trusting the urge to want to go, even though you didn't necessarily know why or what was kind of coming, you know. And when you're working with people, whether you're doing oracle cards or therapy or whatever, you know, there's so much about helping people connect with just the capacity to trust themselves. You know, our world is so outwardly focused, and so much of our permission and so much of our authority is outward focused. So to be able to just trust that you might have the right answer and you might be able to do something just because is so difficult for so many people that I love that, you know, you took a chance on that, and it's unfolded into this incredible career that you have now. So before we get into that, and I want to hear all about the school and everything that you've got going on, but some of our listeners might not actually know like what an oracle card is. So could you just tell us a little bit more just about oracle cards, where they come from, just kind of what they are and how they work?
Sure. So technically oracle cards are little pieces of art on paper. So like imagine a playing card and it just has art on it, some sort of art. And there will be a deck of cards that is, you know, it can be anywhere from 20 cards, 30 cards, 50 cards, 100 cards, like the number of cards in the deck doesn't matter. But what they are, these little pieces of art, is that they are symbolic language. So before we had spoken language, written language, there was archetypal language, right? They used to draw pictures on caves to share their stories and to share information. Those symbols are archetypal language. And so when you look at an oracle card, it is art, and it's the archetypal symbols that we have this innate knowledge in us of what they mean and what they represent. And they also, you know, symbols that are on the card. So a symbol could be something like a triangle, a circle, a square, right? It could be just a shape. It could be something like a certain animal. It could be something like the moon. It could be, you know, a picture of a mountain. Like those are all symbols. And because we have different life experiences, we have different meanings for the symbols that we see. So an oracle card, when you pull an oracle card and you look at it, you are automatically triggered by those symbols to invoke feelings and memories and experiences and what those things mean to you. And that's how they transmit information. So you can ask a question, and when you pull a card, those symbols trigger the wisdom you have within you to find the answer. So they work really on a psychological level, and then also at that archetypal level where we have cellular memory, collective conscious memory of the symbols.
You know, you just really helped me understand oracle cards in a deeper way. I love my oracle cards. I have like 20 decks and I just love, I mean, I love them, but I don't think I ever put two and two together with regards to the archetype. And it's interesting because we're going to talk a little bit about some misconceptions about oracle cards, but I'm jumping the gun and I'm going to say, you know, one of them that I know is that people think that it's, oh, that's woo woo, or that's, you know, like you were saying, new age or whatever it is. But psychology, I mean, you know, Jung, Carl Jung, that's his language is the archetype,
right,
and
exactly.
The collective unconscious. And, you know, he was one of Freud's predecessors, you know, so this is like the very foundations of psychology here. This stuff is rooted deep in psychology. Fact that what you're basically saying is the card is just a little kind of, honestly, a hack into your subconscious mind.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Which I love. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to be thinking about my oracle cards.
I know. It's also, so let me add this for you. And I get nervous saying this to a therapist because I'm like, I'm going to say this wrong. But
no, you're not.
It also accesses, it's a way to access your limbic system where we store those experiences, the primal experiences that don't have words. Art and shapes and patterns and colors are a different language that your soul speaks, that your primal self speaks, that is not linear or logical and doesn't have words associated with it. So if you have heard people say, I don't know how to describe that, it's because it's something that is a primal feeling that doesn't have words. But if you can let yourself express whatever that is, so this kind of goes into some of the other work that I do, but if you let yourself express whatever that energy or that feeling is in colors and shapes and patterns, you are giving a voice to that primal information and you make it visible. And once you can see it, then you can put words to it to help explain it and elaborate. So oracle cards are actually ancient medicine. Mm.
Okay. You don't ever have to worry about talking about that to a therapist again, because that was beautiful. And everything that you're saying is so on point, because there is this, you know, I've been training and will continue throughout my career to train in somatic psychotherapy, because as a talk therapist, I hit a wall where I realized you can only talk and use words and verbalize so much. And then you hit a place where there is no longer access. Like the frontal lobe is just not enough. And so what Jen is talking about is getting beyond that just sort of prefrontal cortex and the logical mind, which is so critical to do for any type of really like depth work or healing. So yeah, you talk away, because that was said beautifully. My whole body like lit up in goosebumps. So that probably does bring us to a good point. You know, the work that you do with clients and on the cards, you know, is going to clearly help somebody with regards to any kind of emotional or mental or spiritual healing. But I imagine it works in conjunction with other forms of healing too. Like, can you talk a little bit about how people use the cards, or, you know, the ways in which you've seen people use these cards in conjunction with other methods?
Yeah, I'd love to. So if you think about the cards as input, so you need some information, you need some insight, some guidance, you look at a card, it gives you input. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and it gives you, that input gives you access to your intuition. It like sparks your intuition in some way. It gives you a way to know what is inside of you. It gives you permission to step out of the mundane world and into the divine unseen world where things exist in abstract form. Mm. It helps you connect with your instincts. It reflects your truth back to you. So you have this truth of who you are and what you're going through and all of that. And an oracle card will reflect that back to you in a visual form. So it's input. It helps mm-hmm. you to see what already exists. The other big modality that I do is soul art, and mm-hmm. it is a creative spiritual process where you are intuitively creating art. So this is a form of output. So the oracle cards are input,
yeah,
visible input. Soul art is visible output. It's taking the invisible that's inside of you. Like I said, you know, the primal stuff, the stuff that's stored right. that we don't have words for, and you make it visible on a canvas of some sort. And the thing about, so it uses creativity, right? So it accesses the right brain, it accesses the intuition, it accesses that primal stuff, and it gives it a language. It gives it a path out of your body so that mm-hmm. it can be, quote, spoken, you know, it has a voice mm-hmm. of some way. And it helps you to see what is inside, and it helps you to express what you have been holding on to. So talk about having a release.
Wow, yeah.
You know, or getting healing or seeing something that you haven't been able to figure out. When you go through a soul art process, it's a process. It has five steps, so it's a structured process. But within mm-hmm. that structure is the freedom to express yourself creatively. So it takes no art skill, but you're using art as the medium to express what's inside of you.
She's so cool. And that's why I'm doing this podcast. That's why this podcast exists, is because there are so many cool ways that we as humans can heal, can express, can move beyond whatever pain or whatever traps we feel like we're in. And so is that similar to, or have you ever heard of soul collage?
I have heard of soul plug.
Okay.
I have not done it. It's not the same.
Okay.
I think it's probably similar, except that soul art is really developed into that process where it's a complete like healing process. The whole thing.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And these are different forms that, and I know they're like trademarked and stuff, but there's just, like I said, there's so many modalities out there. Mm-hmm. And I love that you have a way of working with both input and output. Because again, that's so important. You know, one of the things I'm constantly talking about is balance and like how we have to work with the yin and the yang energies or that masculine, feminine, you know, being, doing energy. And there's so many, people in today's world that are just so caught up in the doing, and everything is externalized, that it's so important that we take time also to see like what's coming out of us, you know, like what is our truth. And I just love that these are ways you can access it because everybody's different. So let's get back to this idea of misconceptions though, because I really want this show to be a place where people can just kind of really get through all of the kind of nonsense that exists on the web about there's just so much junk out there. And what do you hear when you hear misconceptions about, you know, using cards or oracle cards? What's some of the stuff you hear?
So the one that I hear that now makes me laugh is that it's evil. It's from the devil. You know, it's mm-hmm. all of that stuff. And it's really not in the slightest bit. Because when you work with cards, you know, like the way I teach cards, I can't speak for everyone in the world, but the way that I teach cards, the first thing you do is you call in the light, you connect with the divine so that mm-hmm. you're working with divine energy. You're working with the highest and best good for everyone involved with the cards. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing evil or bad, or it's not a sin. There's nothing terrible about it.
Yeah.
That used to bother me. Now it just kind of makes me laugh. And I have to say, every time I run a Facebook ad to one of my courses or something, I will get somebody quoting Bible quotes at me. And I'm just like, no, just step right down, because I'm working in the light here and this is all for the highest good. And you couldn't convince me otherwise.
Right. Absolutely.
So yeah, that's one thing people can just.
So if somebody is Christian or if somebody is Jewish or has a religious faith, these things are absolutely compatible with whatever faith somebody has.
Absolutely. Because they are not of a religion. So you can have religion or not and still work with the cards. And it's fine. Yeah.
In fact, this is an interesting question, but I would imagine based on what you were saying about it calling forth your just sort of subconscious, unconscious, you know, mind and limbic system and all of that, that even if you were somewhat skeptical in regards to faith, that these cards could probably evoke something even in somebody who maybe didn't have a religious or spiritual sort of leaning.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. They connect you with something bigger than yourself.
Gotcha.
Can I just tell you one tiny little story?
Of course.
One of the readings that I did when I was doing them in the lobby that night mm-hmm. was for somebody who had grown up Catholic, and she was very skeptical, very nervous about having a reading.
Mm-hmm.
But her curiosity was so strong that she couldn't not do it. Mm-hmm. And when we pulled her cards, I think we pulled 5 cards for her. And the deck that I was using at the time had a bunch of angels and archangels in it. And mm-hmm. I think 3 of them were archangel cards that came out. And she was like, if that's not a sign of God being with me right now, I don't know what is.
I don't know what is.
There you go.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting. I shit you not. I went to Catholic school my entire life, and we had an entire 8th grade religion class devoted to that. It was called Staying Out of the Devil's Playground. I am not kidding. And they would teach us about how to avoid things such as tarot and Ouija boards and all this stuff. But this, the sort of, the fear that was instilled into us, it can be really hard to trust that these are just tools to help you connect to yourself. And there's just so much false stuff about them. So thank you for helping clear up some of those misconceptions. I'd like to think that all people would be able to access something as powerful as an oracle card. And you know, somebody who's seeking more balance in their life. That's one of the things we really try to emphasize on the Inner Alchemy podcast, is how to find that balance in a world that is so imbalanced. How would you suggest somebody use oracle cards if they were looking to find their center and to maybe seek out more balance?
The easiest thing is to ask a question. What do I need to know about myself today? And pull a card. And just see what it says. See what insight it gives you. See what guidance it gives you. And let it help you tune in. You know, tune out the noise around you, the external noise, and tune in to what is inside of you. And pay attention during the day to see how that card shows up in your life in different ways. See how it might come across. And that really will help you tune into your own inner wisdom and find a little bit more balance, because then you pull your focus back into yourself a little bit and it's not so externally focused. You know, and you come back to center a little bit. That's the easiest thing to do.
I love that. And this goes back to what I was saying earlier. You know, so often I work with clients and I'll ask a question and they'll say, well, I don't know. And a little sort of trick question that we therapists and coaches have been taught is, well, if you did know, what do you think it would be? And it's literally just a little trick of the brain to just kind of like bounce back into your own knowing. And oftentimes, I'm not kidding you, it works. But it seems to me that like in paying attention to the art or in paying attention to the image, all of a sudden that part of you that thinks, well, I don't know, is bypassed. And you're coming back to your own truth. So I just love that. Where can people get oracle cards?
Honestly, you can get them on Amazon. They're all okay. over the place. You can get okay. them on Amazon, on Etsy. You can get them in local little metaphysical shops if you have a little like crystal shop in mm-hmm. your area. It's super easy to do a Google search and find okay. some cards. The one thing about finding cards online is that you can't really touch them and see them in person beforehand, but you can see the images like on Google Images and to see if you uh-huh. like the artwork.
Okay. Very cool. And that's the thing about these cards is they are fun. I mean, oh, they're totally. So much fun. And you can do them with your friends and you can mm-hmm. spend time with them. I mean, whenever I travel, somebody always has a deck of oracle cards on them, especially if I'm on a girls' weekend. So Jen, speaking of fun, one of the things that we like to do on the podcast is end on a good vibration and on a fun note. And also we want to help the audience just get to know you a little better on a level that isn't all about the sort of the modality of healing. So are you down for some rapid fire questions? Just something to end it out on a little bit of fun?
Of course.
Okay.
Bring them
okay.
on, girl.
We're going to start with the most important one that everybody is dying to know. All right. Is it tea or is it coffee?
Oh, that's tough. It's both depending on the circumstance.
Okay. Well, give us one of your favorite teas or your favorite brand of coffee.
All right. So my favorite tea would be Numi White Rose Tea. My favorite coffee would be French Market Coffee and Chicory.
And chicory. Oh my gosh.
So delicious.
That sounds good. I asked because it tells you a lot about a person. It's so interesting. I love finding out. Well, first of all, I want to find out about new brands of coffee. But I also, it's just so fascinating. People are very particular about their coffees.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a thing for sure. It's a thing. So speaking of things, tell us one thing that you hope to check off your bucket list in the next 5 years.
Bucket list in the next 5 years. I would have to say that would be going to a hockey game in Canada.
Really? Mm-hmm. Why? Can you tell me why or what it means
well,
to you?
I'm not a sports fan except uh-huh. for hockey. And when my husband and I met, he is a huge sports fan. And mm-hmm. My company had box seats to the hockey game. And I was like, hey, do you want to go with me? Not knowing really anything about the game or not caring, but this was a fun thing to do with a new boyfriend at the yeah. time. And it was just something that we bonded over. And hockey is so fast and so fun that I just love it. And now I get the game and I have a team and all of that. And like hockey is so big and important in Canada. It feels mm-hmm. like a foundational, it's like a must do thing, like see hockey that, in Canada.
That is so fun. And I did not know that about you. Do you want to know something so interesting? My husband and I met playing darts And we actually went to a dart match in England because it just was so symbolic. And so, yeah, we went to a big dart match in England. They actually have professional dart matches in England, for those that you did not know, which is probably most of the audience. But that is really cool. Well, I hope you get, I hope the travel ban starts lifted very soon and you get up to Canada. All right. So the last question, and I ask everybody this, which is fun, but it's also, I think, pretty informative for our audience. And that is, what is one piece of advice that you would give your 14-year-old self?
My 14-year-old self, what would she, what does she need to know? What she would need to know is, I would tell her to study more science.
Really?
Because, yeah, because like astronomy and physics and things, that all connects to the metaphysical world. And it gives like validation, like, you know, scientific validation to the intuitive, creative, invisible things that we know to be true, but it, it just puts some facts behind it. I think it would be so fascinating. If I had to start a new career, it might be science at this point.
That is really cool. No. And I hear what you're saying. I actually really hear what you're saying. That's cool. Well, listen, I know you have your intuition school and you've got all kinds of things going on. And I know the audience will want to know how they can find out more about you. So just tell us a little bit about what's going on in your world and where people can reach out and connect with you and work with you.
So my website, of course, jenniferblumenthal.com would be the place to start. I'm on Instagram at Intuition School. And I have an inner circle that is a small membership where we do a lot of different activities. We use a lot of oracle cards. We do weekly lessons with the oracle cards. We have workshops coming up. So if any... If anyone's interested in that kind of thing, you can find me at intuitionschool.teachable.com and just kind of see the courses that I have going on there. And I'm going to have some free guides to give your audience. Is that okay?
Yes, please. Where can they get them?
I am going to send you some links for those, but
great.
Do you want to know the links now? I don't know if anybody
will
write them down.
No, I tell you what, that's okay. Well, people might write them down, but probably the easiest thing, if anyone's brain works like mine, is we will put all of those links in the show notes. That way, if you don't have to worry about remembering it, but just know that you can get this free. Thank you so much. Yeah, go and look up the show notes and get your free gift. That is awesome.
Can I tell you what they are?
Yeah.
They are so exciting to me. One of them is called Spirit Guides and the Oracle Cards, because I believe that there are spirit guides that help you with your cards, that help you connect and get information. So I have a little guide that talks through five decks and kind of how to work with those decks specifically, what they answer, what kind of questions they answer well, how they help you, you know, how to communicate with them. And then the other one is the Starseed Oracle Kit. So it's learning about your cosmic origins, your what kind of stardust are you made of? And we use oracle cards to help with that and creativity.
I love both of those things. And thank you so much for doing that for the audience. Well, again, we have many different goals at the Inner Alchemy Podcast, but one of them is honestly to bring free resources more and more out into the open around healing, all forms of healing. If 2020 has taught me anything, it's just that everybody needs access to healing. It's been a rough year for a lot of us, but it just has highlighted the need. And so thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you just for being with us. I personally loved catching up with you and getting to know more about, I mean, I can't believe all the things you've done since I last talked to you. This is fabulous. And I can't wait to just watch your career and watch what you're doing in the world.
Well, thank you.
As I say, we've got a lot of healing to do and you're playing a vital role. So thank you for being on the show. We loved having you.
You are welcome. I loved being here and catching up with you and connecting with your listeners. So thank you for having me.
Okay. Well, in closing, I want to go ahead and remind you of three things you can do if you should so choose. Number one is subscribe to this podcast. That way you can be in the know about all the new episodes we release as we release them. Number two is give this podcast a 5-star review if you like the episode and you feel we earned it. Our goal is to bring these conversations about emotional health and healing to more and more people, so we could use your help in telling more and more people about the show. The number three is do yourself a favor. Head over to my website, RebeccaClegg.com, and download the free ebook all about finding and reclaiming balance. In this world and in these times, I don't know anybody that couldn't use some pointers on that. And as always, a huge thank you to Dawn and Claire, better known as the Ormwoods, for donating their single, Hope Pray Sing, as the soundtrack for the Inner Alchemy podcast. You can check out their music and videos at their website, theormwoods.com.